Find other great podcasts like this one at podmoth.network.
Welcome to Freaky Fridays, part of the Podmoth Network, the podcast where we talk about all kinds of scary, spooky, freaky shit while drinking wine and laughing through our fears. We are your hosts.
I'm Michelle.
And I'm Melissa.
And tonight, I'm going to tell you about the weird and creepy Hystria of... Did I say Hystria?
Uh-huh. It's okay. Okay. It's like Disturbia.
So all I've had is a Nutri-Grain nut bar and wine.
What? Whilst drinking some wine? Whilst?
It's okay. I'm not driving. So about the weird and creepy Hystria.
Hystria. Disturbia. So good.
Oh, my God. History of Centralia, Pennsylvania.
Ooh.
See, there's a lot of Ias in there. That's why. Yeah. Before we get into this, we should address our month-long hiatus.
Yeah.
Because for sure. we have three fans that are really, you know, wondering what happened with the podcast.
And I have to say, I have to give a shout out to our friend Dave Ashton.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, buddy, for your support. We do appreciate you listening to us babble on about things and for coming back and listening each week or whenever we feel like fucking recording. So thank you. We appreciate it.
Semi-weekly, quote unquote, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. And shout out to Barry, the Englishman in Las Vegas,
who what up, Barry?
Decided to send us pictures of Robert the Doll. So now we're all cursed. Thanks,
yes.
Barry.
Thanks, Barry. Mm-hmm. Fucking Barry.
Fucking Barry.
We do appreciate your support, though.
Yes, absolutely.
And I do think that you're quite brave for going and taking those pictures, right. I have to say.
He said Key West at night is, like, super spooky. Like, during the day, it's like this beach town. And then at night, it turns into this very spooky, creepy place. So, perfect Let's place go. For the dolls. I'm down for Key
perfect
West.
Perfect place for us. Fuck the dolls. Yeah, perfect place for us.
Definitely fuck the dolls.
But not you, Robert.
Not you, We're Robert. Sorry. Sorry. I'm writing I'm a sorry. Letter. Sorry. I'm writing a letter to Robert apologizing. I don't need any more bad luck.
No. Well, I'm excited to hear this story.
Yeah. So as I said, I made it sound very like the weird and creepy Hystria of Centralia, but it's really not that scary. But I just thought it was really interesting. And it has a tie to the game and movie Silent Hill. Did you ever watch Silent Hill?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? I have to say, even if something doesn't necessarily come out or seem as scary to you and I, certain things might be scarier to other people.
True.
You know what I mean? Like how people are like terrified of clowns or terrified of spiders or whatever it may be. Like there's some things we talk about and it sits with me, even if it's not that scary per se, right. It sticks with me and I think about it and it's creepy.
And
you
we
know?
Are doing our Spooks Across America, or I don't know what we're calling it. Freaky.
I think we
America.
Probably should change the name of that. how about haunts or scares across America?
Scary America.
Yeah.
Yes.
Scare America.
Scare America. So I just thought this story was extremely interesting, crazy, and creepy. I think that's the best way to put it.
Hold on. Did we actually address our hiatus?
Well, I mean, not officially, but fucking life, right?
Yeah.
I mean, life, I got COVID. I was down for 2 weeks. It's just been really rough getting together because life has been so crazy for both of us.
It really has.
We should have started our summer hiatus.
I know, right? I felt like that's what we've been on, and it's not. It's just like you said, it's life. You guys got COVID, and I'm glad you're better though, and I'm glad it wasn't too serious.
Me
but
too.
Yeah, life, you guys, has just been crazy. My mom falling again, ending up in the hospital, and now she's in a short-term home to heal, and we're in the process of moving her. And
to a better place, to a closer place, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Light at the end of the tunnel.
What else happened in between? One of my best friends lost her husband. Mm-hmm. That has taken a toll.
Jake's friend.
Jake just lost a friend. It's way too young.
Very young.
25 unexpectedly. Wow. I think helping the kids through sort of navigating what it's like at that age to lose somebody their age, you know, because like they've lost older people, but to lose someone that young is not easy to navigate. And
yeah, you're not really prepared when you're that, when you're that old. You're not prepared for that.
I mean, at my age, I'm 44 and I'm never prepared. I mean, I was just talking about this. I think in the last 2 years, I've lost, I want to say, about 5 people in 2 years. That's a lot.
Yeah,
of
that
death.
Seems like something that you hear your grandparents talk about.
Yeah, and these are people who are my age or younger.
Right.
That's just too many people. All the way down to, you know, Jake's friend, Carlos, rest in peace, buddy, who was only 25. Yeah, and
such a
also
great guy, too.
Rest in peace, Michael, aka The Dish. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, he was a little bit older than us, but still too young. And
Way too young.
It's heartbreaking. Yeah. And
was he 50?
Michael was 48.
48, not even 50.
Mm-mm.
Nick's actually in Los Angeles right now. One of the attorneys that he worked closely with had breast cancer. It traveled to her brain quickly and just passed away, 41 years old.
That's just, it's...
What the fuck is going on?
It's too much sometimes. And I know that it's part of life and I know that's what happens, but it's just the last 2 years have been a total shit show, whether it's been because of COVID or losing people or whatever the case may be. There has been so much going on. I honestly can't take much more. I've missed recording. The break was necessary for both of us.
Absolutely.
And I've missed recording because
we
have so much fun doing it. We laugh at each other and we're not serious by any means.
It's hard to get into this recording when things like deaths and
are so heavy.
It's rough trying to be on and fun. And I mean, you're still dealing with stuff right now.
Yeah.
So it's, I just remembered we forgot about one other thing that was devastating this past month, your root canal.
Oh my God.
Are you feeling better?
Finally. It's still a little tiny bit sensitive, but I can finally chew again on that side. It's feeling, that pressure's gone. It feels so much better. I just hope that it keeps getting better. You know what I mean? But yes, thank you. That was a very traumatizing event for me, everybody. I do not like going to the dentist, let alone having to go to the endodontist and have a root canal fixed that the prior endodontist messed up.
Right. So two root canals, basically. On the same tooth.
Basically within, I mean, I think the first one was same tooth. It was done like maybe 5 or 6 years ago and they missed a canal and it's just now started hurting me.
And they didn't put you under, they put you in Twilight.
Right. They put me in Twilight, which if you don't know what that means, it's basically you're sedated, but still alert in the sense that if they tell you to do, which kind of freaks me out.
It sounds awful, but it's actually not that bad in dentist terms.
Right. So basically what it means is if they like tap you on the shoulder and say like, you know, raise your right arm, you can do it, but you don't remember you're doing it. And that's why I'm saying it sounds a little freaky that they can give you commands to do and you'll do it, but you don't remember.
You have no idea what they made you do.
Oh my God. I really don't. And that's okay. I mean, as long as I don't remember what happened. But
there's no PTSD if you don't remember.
Right. But I am telling you, later that night when I was at home in bed and that it was like wearing, you know, it had worn off or whatever, I was telling Brian, I was like, damn, what I wouldn't give some more of that shit right now, because being someone who struggles with extreme anxiety and never truly having a sense of calm or just feeling quote unquote normal. When I was in that chair and the minute that hit my veins, it was like that elephant on my chest went away. I could breathe. Like I felt what people who don't have anxiety.
That's what Michael Jackson wanted,
right?
He
had propofol though, that's all he wanted too, was just to feel not anxious. Well, this shit did the trick, let me tell you.
Well, we'll go to Mexico.
If we could bottle that up and send it home safely, I would like some, if anyone can figure out what it is, because it made a world of difference. And I'm sure it made a different atmosphere for the endodontist. As I warned him, I said it would be safer for you if
you didn't punch
something
so that I'm not endodontist. That's good.
Punching you and whining and crying and trying to hop out of your chair. You might want to, you know, start
grabbing his arm.
Yeah, so it was actually a very pleasant experience, I will say, once I got the somewhat sedation and didn't remember a damn thing afterwards. It was right. Fucking fabulous.
Amazing. Yeah. Yes, drugs are good. I totally felt your pain because I don't think I told you this, but when I had a filling, the filling got so close to my root that when I would chew on certain things, it would hit it just right. And it would hit that nerve, and it got to the point where I was in the dentist chair, probably like the second or third dentist chair. And I said, just pull the tooth out. I don't care. Yeah. I don't want it in there. I don't care if there's a missing tooth, pull it out. And then finally they changed the filling to a metal one, actually.
Oh, good.
That was a little bit more give, and it's totally fine.
Good.
Everything's fine.
I'm telling you, tooth pain is right up there with labor pain.
I will never know that, and I don't ever want to know that.
But you know what tooth pain, I mean, when you can't sleep and it's freaking throbbing and nothing, like, it's the worst pain, I think, aside from being in labor.
Yeah. Oh, God. Well, that's good to know. I have my fill of feelings, and I'm ready to move up. So I'm going to give you, if you're not funny at all tonight, I'm going to totally give you a pass.
I don't know that I'm ever actually funny.
You're hilarious, and I love you.
People may laugh at me if I don't know what I'm talking about.
You have the best
can't pronounce words right,
made up words of anybody I've ever met.
I try my best. I try my best. All right. Well, with that sad, sappy story, let's sip our wine and get into
Yes. Let's talk about Centralia, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So Centralia, which ironically is not in the dead center of Pennsylvania, has a pretty boring history up until it was found to have this undiscovered coal. So in 1842, Centralia's land was bought by the Locust Mountain Coal and Iron Company. That's a huge business card.
It's a 5x7.
Here's my 11x14 business card. It's just our name. Alexander Ray, a mining engineer, moved his family in and began planning a village, and construction began on the Mine Run Railroad in 1854. There's going to be a lot of numbers right now, but just trying to take you through the timeline. By 1863, there were 5 mines in the town and an additional 2 railroads to transport coal as the town grew. I don't know if that's a lot of mines, but 5 mines in a town seems like a lot. Like, that's a lot of digging underground, right?
Yeah, like, why do you need so many? I don't understand. How big is this town?
It actually, from the map, it looks pretty big. They call it, I call it a town, but it's actually like a borough. Mm. So if you think of like New York with their boroughs, so it's like a large area, but it is called Centralia.
Okay.
So in 1868, Alexander Ray was murdered while traveling between cities. I said that very like, I didn't mean it like that. Alexander Ray was murdered while traveling between cities by the Molly Maguires. And I had to look this up. Molly Maguires.
Sounds like a singing group.
Yes. So they were an Irish 19th century secret society known for their activism among Irish American and Irish immigrant coal miners in Pennsylvania.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure that there is a bar or something called Molly Maguires. I meant to look that up, totally forgot to. So, the Molly Maguires created a lot of violence, murders, and arson in Centralia, trying to organize mine workers' unions to improve wages and working conditions.
Wow. So they were like kind of like a vigilante?
Yeah, and kind of like a union, but violent.
So like, yeah, like a violent vigilante union.
Yes.
Where can I sign up? That sounds fun.
Can I beat people in this legally? Well, in 1868, you could. One legend says that father, I just thought this was interesting. It was kind of like thrown out there and never addressed again. Mm. Father McDermott, the first Roman Catholic priest to reside in Centralia, cursed the land in retaliation for being assaulted by members of the Molly Maguire gang in 1869. So almost equivalent to Native American burial ground and you moved the headstones?
Didn't move the bodies. I'm guessing that that Catholic priest had it coming to him. I mean, I'm not going to start on any other subject, but y'all know what I mean. And I feel like it was probably warranted. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. Does it say why he was assaulted?
We'll just leave it at that.
For these vigilante union gang members that wanted nothing but the best for the Irish immigrants.
Yeah.
I'm part Irish, so I'm going to side on Molly Maguire's.
Me too. I have a little bit of that in me somewhere. I mean,
I'm sure you do.
God knows what I have in me. I mean, I am a mutt, but I'm pretty sure we have it a little bit. Although Nick's the only one that looks like he would have it in him.
With the red beard.
And the white skin that doesn't tan. And even like Jake looks freaking Irish. Like where'd
that come from? Maybe we do a Molly Maguire episode. I don't know.
All I can think of now is Jerry Maguire.
Help me help you. Talk about the Molly Maguire game. By 1890, Centralia reached its max population of 2,761 residents.
Yeah, I'm wondering now what really these mines were for.
Oh, don't get too excited.
Okay.
It's interesting, but it's not that. So they had 7 churches, 5 hotels, 27 saloons, as you should, 2 theaters, a bank, a post office, and 14 general and grocery stores.
14 grocery stores?
A general store and grocery store. I don't know, like 7-Elevens and Albertsons.
Okay, well, I mean.
But yeah, 14 does sound like a lot.
Because that town doesn't, for 2,000 people, doesn't sound like a very big town. 14 grocery stores.
Everybody wants you to buy their flour. 37 years later, the production of anthracite coal, which this is what was found to be in the area, anthracite coal, which has like the highest burning temperature. I don't know. It's like the most coveted coal. Mm-hmm. It is the gold of the coal. it had reached its peak in Pennsylvania at that time. So in the following years, production declined as many young miners from Centralia enlisted in the military for World War I, and there was the Wall Street crash in 1929. During that time, 5 mines were closed, but it didn't stop the bootleggers from illegally entering mines to extract coal from the coal pillars that supported the mine's roofs. So like a pillar that was holding up the ceiling,
Yeah. There
would be coal in there and they would dig it out. There wouldn't be support anymore. So then it would collapse the mine.
Oh, ooh, that's shady.
So then they were in there and they died.
That's sad.
Yeah. Well, you were bootlegging, so I don't know. In 1950, the resident count was down to 1,986. Coal mining continued until the mine fire hit in 1962. This is the big mine fire that I'm going to tell you about.
Okay.
May 7th, 1962, the city council met to discuss cleaning up the Centralia landfill, which was 300 feet wide and 75 foot long, and it was very close to the cemetery. I had to throw that in just because it was this.
With these people? And they're building shit in and around the cemeteries.
This landfill was created from an open mine, which is dangerous as landfills, as they were known to cause fires. And an inspector said the pit should only be filled with incombustible material.
Hmm.
So I don't know what you're dumping in there, but I guess a flick of a cigarette would set off this. Because it's coal.
Sure.
I mean, you're throwing it into a barbecue pit, right?
Essentially, yes.
Well, on May 27th, the cleanup day arrived and the council hired 5 volunteer firefighters. I know they're trained, but a volunteer firefighter in my mind is like some guy that says, yeah, sure, I'll hold a hose, right?
Yeah, that's like the hair chick's assistant learning and says she knows how to do balayage and ends up getting you, you know, chunky highlights or whatever. Like, they're not trained to be on their own to do things like that.
Precisely. That is exactly what I'm talking about.
Good grief.
So they hire 5 volunteer firefighters to clean up this landfill.
Okay, 5, that's all they could muster?
So the way that they decided to clean up the landfill was to set it on fire.
What?
To burn all the garbage.
Oh my God.
I guess they thought all was going well as they doused the flames that night and they all went home.
Wait, so they left it burning?
Well, they doused the flames that they could see from the street and then they went home. 2 days later, the flames were seen and hoses hooked up and they doused the fire again. A week later, on June 4th, more flames were seen and they hosed it down again. So they just keep seeing fire and they hose it up.
It's like,
and they see fire and they hose it up.
It's like those magic birthday candles that no matter how much you blow them out, they yes! keep coming back.
Exactly.
Wow.
Wow. This was a trick mine fire. Finally, a bulldozer got in to stir up the garbage for firemen to hit concealed fires with water, but they found there was a 15-foot wide hole under the garbage where flaming waste was falling into and water was not getting through. So it was like hiding underneath, right? So they tried 3 times to hose it down and failed. They believed that this hole connected to the labyrinth of old mines under the town. I mentioned 5 mines back in late 1800s, mm-hmm. but there continued to be mines open. So basically all underground was this labyrinth of old mines.
Oh.
So this flaming garbage, what is that? A dumpster fire mm-hmm. underground was just spreading around. The flaming garbage dump continued to burn. And on July 2nd, so this is a month plus later, people started complaining about the foul odors.
Oh, gross.
One of the reasons is because they continued to allow dumping into that garbage.
What is wrong with them?
And we're talking about 1962, right? It's not 1800 idiots.
Yeah.
By now, quips of smoke were coming out of the cracks of the ground. So if you were walking down the street, if there was a crack in the ground, you would just see like smoke coming out of it.
Oh my God.
The city council hired a mine inspector that tested the gas and found it contained concentrations of carbon monoxide.
Fuck.
So not only are you seeing smoke, it's dangerous to your health.
Yeah.
So then the council sends a letter to the Lehigh. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Lee?
How's it spelled?
L-E-H-I-G-H.
Yeah, that's not Lee, like the name Lee.
Right. So Lehigh, the Valley Coal Company that owned many of the mines. So they were notified of the fire and they decided to hide the fact that they basically started the fire. Like Billy Joel.
We didn't start the fire.
Oh. So they just decided that they weren't going to take responsibility, that they actually were the ones, the city council were the ones that started the fire, and they notified this coal company that owned the mines.
Hmm.
On August 6th, the LVCC, which I'm not going to say Lehigh or whatever anymore, it's LVCC, and a coal company comes out and says, well, it'll be about $30,000, roughly about $270,000 now, to dig out the fire. And they expect the state to pay for it.
Hmm.
But on August 9th, lethal levels of carbon monoxide were found and all the mines were closed the next day. So people were still going into the mines and working.
Mm-hmm.
But with all this carbon monoxide, they decided to shut down all the mines.
Just so you know, it's pronounced Lehigh.
Lehigh. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm not going to say it anymore anyway.
That's okay. I just wanted you to know.
But good. Good to know. On August 12th, thank you for looking that up.
You're welcome.
On August 12th, at a meeting of the United Mine Workers of America, a contract was awarded. Apparently.
Wow.
Probably not anymore. Are there any mines around anyone? Who knows? A contract was awarded to Bridy Inc. for about $20,000. That would be around $179,000 today, to work on this fire beginning on August 22nd. It cracks me up that it's like they meet on the 12th and then they're like, okay, we're going to start work on the 22nd. That is 10 extra days of the mine and garbage burning mm-hmm. with lethal levels of carbon monoxide.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you start tomorrow
mm-hmm.
or right now mm-hmm. or today?
Yeah.
So this, so because of the amount of the, the first one was 30,000, this was 20,000. So the lower amount was the winner because the engineers who drew up the plans of the excavation did not believe the fire was very big or active. They figured based on the size and location of the steam coming out of these cracks of the ground mm-hmm. that it wasn't that big. It was just the landfill area.
Mm-hmm.
So this project was doomed from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if this company is still around. As soon as Bridy Inc. started digging into the dump underground, a large amount of oxygen rushed into the mine. And what happens when you add oxygen to a fire? You might as well throw oil on that shit. Mm-hmm. The state only permitted Bridie's team to work 9 to 5 weekday shifts. So during the Labor Day weekend, nothing was done for 5 days. So they didn't work the weekend and then they had the holiday off.
Oh my God.
So if we know anything about fires, they don't just go out on their own.
And they don't take weekends off.
You need to keep fighting them.
What the fuck?
Also, they were using equipment that was too small for the job. So it's like using a spoon to garden and dig up your garden.
Oh my God.
The fire just continued to move deeper and deeper into the mines, and the project ended up running out of money and ended in October of 1962. Almost 2.5 months of fighting this fire during 9 to 5 weekdays.
Business hours.
I'm starting to realize this is more of a funny story than a spooky story.
I mean, it's scary when you think about what was happening and what was going on and the fact that they didn't take care of it right away.
Right. Could you imagine living in this town?
That's a 911 situation.
So after it ended in October, that one excavation ended in October, a second one started at the end of October, where they decided to crush rock with water and pump it into the mines ahead of the fire expansion. So kind of, you know, get ahead of it and basically pump in this concrete to block it. So the project was estimated to cost about $40,000, which would be about $350,000 today. On November 1st, it was awarded to K&H Excavating with a low bid of $28,400. So they saved themselves a whopping $12,000 there. And I'm starting to realize a discount on a project where you're trying to save lives and put out a fire is not the best choice to choose.
No, absolutely not.
You don't go cheap on something very important.
Mm-mm. That's like buying a Groupon to get like your freaking tattoo
lips
or your,
done.
You know, your eyebrows microbladed or
exactly
something of that sort. You don't do that.
No. Wow. Surgery.
Yeah. Get your boobs done on Groupon.
Not a good idea. So this project also had its own issues. Drilling was conducted through holes spaced 20 feet apart along the edge of the landfill. Centralia experienced an unusually heavy period of snowfall and unseasonably low temperatures during the project. This weather caused the water supply lines to freeze, as well as the rock grinding machine that was making this cement type mixture to freeze. So it was impossible to make this mix, and they drilled all those holes, and then the amount of cement mix was not enough to fill all of those holes.
Right.
So then there was just a bunch of open holes feeding the fire more oxygen.
It sounds to me like they should have just evacuated the entire town and blown that place up.
We'll get there. We'll get there. Bad. But also, who are they fucking hiring that thinks of these ideas?
Someone from Groupon.
So Groupon ended the project when it ran out of money in March 15th. So they were working on this for 5 months.
Oh my God.
On April 11th, steam issuing from additional openings in the ground indicated that the fire had spread eastward. So obviously it had not been extinguished at all. It had spread even further.
Eastbound.
So they
down.
Decided, they decided third time is a charm.
Oh my God.
But after the cost of the three options that they came up with, ranging from $82,000 to $277,000, they just decided to scrap the whole thing. Fuck it.
Shut up. Are you serious?
Yeah. So this is 1963, right? So in 1979, so they just left this going on. A gas station owner was checking the levels of the underground fuel tanks. And when he withdrew his little dipstick thing, it felt hot. So he lowered a thermometer and the tank of the gas was 172 degrees.
Holy shit.
That does not sound safe to me.
No.
I don't know much about much. I don't know shit about fuck. But 172 degrees of a gas tank does not sound good.
Get out of there immediately.
I would have ran.
That.
Ran. So next year in 1880, the resident count went down to 1,012 and people started reporting negative health effects from the carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide, and low oxygen levels.
You Duh. Don't say.
Duh. There were regular news reports, but what caught the attention of the state is in 1981, a 12-year-old boy named Todd Dombowski fell into a sinkhole 4 feet by 150 feet deep that suddenly opened up beneath him.
Oh my God.
Luckily, when that opened up beneath him, he was able to grab onto a nearby tree root and his 14-year-old cousin pulled him out. The steam billowing out of the hole contained lethal levels of carbon monoxide.
Did he live?
I should have looked that up. Now I'm wondering the same exact thing. Does he have health issues now because of that?
I would imagine if he survived it, he's got to have some sort of respiratory problems. It's like those people in the Aaron Brockovich movie with the drinking water.
Right. You know that is exactly what I was thinking of when I was reading this, but like 10 times worse because the ground's just falling out from under you. You're just standing there with your cousin and all of a sudden the ground like...
It's not funny, but it's funny. Just the way you're saying
Well, he's alive, so it's fine.
Okay, good.
There are possible other origins, but not going to go into those. I'm pretty sure that the council did not want to take blame for this big issue. So they came out with like, I think it was this random thing that started the fire. So
this random thing that's been going on for years.
Yeah. But like they don't want to take blame for the initial start of the fire.
No. It's like Billy Joel. He didn't start the fire.
Right.
This comes right back.
It was always
that,
burning.
Right?
Since the world was turning. Since 1800. In 1984, Congress allocated $42 million. So I think after all of these news articles and all this reporting, it finally got like state to nationwide coverage, especially because of this boy falling into the pit.
I mean, I'm sorry.
Into hell, basically.
But it took all of that and all those years to get help with this.
20 plus years. Yeah. For Congress to help out. But what's even funnier is like, even at the city and state level, they're kind of like, well, nothing we could do. Fuck it. Just let it burn.
I mean, like, think about today and the shit that comes up in what they call news. A freaking celebrity gets divorced and it's on the front page of every paper and it's like everyone's talking about it and it's this big ordeal. But something like that's going on and it literally takes a boy falling through the earth to like actually get a mention in the freaking paper.
We are fucked up. Yeah.
God.
Well, this was before the internet, so you couldn't tweet
that's
something
true. Nasty. That is true. But I mean... There had to have been other ways to get help.
But yeah, it's crazy. So in 1984, Congress allocated $42 million not to fight the fire and fix the problem, but to relocate the remaining citizens. And most of the citizens accepted and moved, but a few families opted to stay.
Why?
Mind blown.
I think they were so fucked up at that point from breathing in all those chemicals.
Yeah.
They were just
like, you have carbon monoxide poisoning. We're going to move you.
They're like, nah, it's cool. We like it here. We're good.
Yeah, man.
I don't want to uproot my kids.
I'm super high. They have the best school system. In 1992, they condemned all the buildings. And in 2002, the U.S. Postal Service revoked Centralia's zip code.
Wow.
So I'm like, how do you get mail? Do you have to drive to the next town? Do you have to like use the post office mail? This was like my big question of the whole story.
This is what you took away from it?
Yes. In 2009, the governor began evicting residents. And by 2010, only 5 homes remained. The residents were determined to stay.
Wow.
In 2012, these last few residents were ordered to leave, but the 7 residents fought it. And the state allowed them to live out their lives. Like, fuck it, if you guys want to do this, fine.
We give up.
The fire ended up extending south underground to the nearby town of Burnsville.
Wow.
No pun intended.
That's pretty bad.
The town had to be abandoned and leveled. So it cracks me up that it goes to the nearby town. They just abandon it and level it. But Centralia is like, 7 residents. Nope. I'm staying here. And we're not fighting it. We're just going to live with the carbon monoxide.
Don't cut the tree down. They're all handcuffed around it. Their homes.
They're chained around the mine entrance. Due to the increased air pressure from the heat of the fires and the heavy rainfalls, the mines have created a geyser. And if you're not from an area that has a geyser, that I'd explain that it is a spring characterized by intermittent discharge.
Ew. You might as well have just said moist.
by moist discharge of water ejected turbulently. Obviously, I copied and pasted this, and accompanied by a stream. So they didn't fix this geyser because they wanted to use it as a means of flood control and like basically a release area. And it's on private property, so they weren't worried about anybody getting hurt. Since Centralia is off Route 60, is it Route 61 or Route 61?
I think it depends on where you're from, on how you say it, and what time area you're living in, Michelle.
I mean, I'm from England, and it's Route 61.
I just honestly think it's where you come from is how we say certain things.
Yeah, I have such a trouble. That's like the Carmel.
I say orange. Some people say orange.
Well, that's their problem. They're wrong. You're right. since it's off of Route 61, it has become a tourist attraction where visitors can come see the smoke, even though the road was covered with dirt to block public access. They'll get out of their car and they will walk over to where the carbon monoxide steam is coming out of the roads.
Makes a lot of sense.
Sounds smart.
I get it.
Welcome to America. There is a pungent smell of sulfur in the air.
No kidding.
Clouds of steam. And in the winter, the air is bitter cold and the ground is hotter than a sauna.
This sounds like it's in the middle of like a Mad Max movie at this point.
Yeah, like it's not even real life.
No, like I feel
like it's Mars like or something.
Any moment now, Tina Turner is going to come walking out singing.
We don't need another hero. Ooh, I might have to cut that out.
We don't need to know the way home.
Can we just pause for a second to reflect on the time that the whole family was in Disneyland? Your niece, my niece as well, mm-hmm. Bella, was probably what, six,
I
five?
I would say probably six.
Went to Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique.
Mm-hmm. That she saved her own money for too.
Very sweet of her. Mm-hmm. She's well raised. Mm-hmm. She got the hair and makeup treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think we went on a ride.
Yes, yes, we did.
And she came out looking like motherfucking Tina Turner in Mad Max. And all everybody kept saying, we don't need another here. I feel like I have a picture. I need to dig that out.
Oh, there is a picture. I'm pretty sure I have it on my phone somewhere.
I wonder if she remembers that.
I don't know. We should ask her. I remember, though, when she first got it done and she came out, Jake was so mad. He's like, this is ridiculous. Look how old she looks. Look at her hair and her makeup. And he was so mad about it. And I was like, calm down. Like,
calm down, Nick.
She's not hopping on a pole somewhere. She's wearing extensions and some glittery fake makeup. Like, it's okay.
Yeah, the kids love it.
Yeah. Yeah, but serious, serious Mad Max vibes.
Space Mountain. I think we went on Space Mountain because we were over in Tomorrowland.
That'll do it.
And she came out of there looking like she stuck her finger in a light socket.
Oh, Tina Turner, we love you.
So, well, hopefully some of our family's listening to this to enjoy that story.
Makes me want to, we're going to karaoke Thursday night for Marta's birthday. It makes me want to sing that song.
Do it.
I wonder if anyone else knows that song. I mean, not that the words aren't in front of you, but you have to like know it to have it. But I'm not singing that by myself.
Well, just start listening to it now over and over and over. And then when you get there, it's going to be like, you know, it'll come naturally.
Growl and grit in there.
Yeah. Or just sing that part and then walk off.
Yeah, that's all I really want to sing. Just the chorus.
You could do it now if you want.
Mm, you already did it for me.
I wouldn't say I did anything. I'm screaming into the microphone.
That's all anybody really does anyways.
So as I mentioned before, this, I thought this was somehow linked to Silent Hill in a more sinister, creepy, freaky way. But the more I looked into it, basically it inspired the filmmakers to adapt the video game Silent Hill into the 2006 movie Silent Hill. Mm. And I have to admit, when I, in 2000-ish, when Silent Hill, the video game came out, mm-hmm. I was playing video games. Mm. I actually refused to even play. I had like a walkthrough guide and I would tell the person I was with where to go, what to do. But watching that on the screen was like the worst horror movie I've ever seen in my life.
Really?
I would put it above The Conjuring and all those horror movies.
Really?
Like, that video game was so scary to me because you don't know what's going to jump out. It's all in this first person, like, flashlight view. Mm-hmm. So you can't see around you until you turn. And then there's some nurse with no friggin' face.
Oh.
So the writer, Roger Avery, and director, Christoph Gans, decided to adapt the video game into a film during 2004. And Avery revealed that he was inspired by the stories and the history of Symtralia, which he incorporated in the film. It's like the perfect place, Silent Hill, because it's very like foggy in that game. Everything looks like it's decrepit and abandoned, which Symtralia basically is. Which reminds me a lot of Chernobyl.
What is that?
In Russia?
Well, I would know because I don't even know what Chernobyl is. So is this a place, a thing?
Wait, where's my mouse? Sure. I'm gonna cut this so it sounds like I
know what you're talking about.
I know what I'm talking about. So Chernobyl is on the Ukraine-Russia border.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the big nuclear power plant that basically released all of the radiation into the nearby town.
How do you know that? Is this something you learned in school and I just didn't pay attention?
Maybe. And I didn't pay attention then either. But I did find a documentary, a mockumentary. Well, not a mockumentary.
Is that like a mocktail?
It's not as tasty.
Okay.
It was because it's not making fun of, but it was like supposedly these people go to Russia and they, God, what was that movie? But they made it into like these creatures from the radiation got deformed and they were attacking humans. So it kind of got a little like silly at the end. But Chernobyl was a real thing and affected a lot of the nearby town because it would just float in the air. Yeah. And then people were like, I lost my baby. I can't breathe. My insides are eating me.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was crazy. There's a really good show that Stellan Skarsgård, the show he was in was Chernobyl on HBO. It's a really good series that it's a little graphic, but it tells you the whole history and everything that went on.
Wow. I didn't know anything.
Yeah, if you want to add it to your roster.
Sure. I sure noble do.
Sure noble will. So that is the story and current horror, because it is still happening, of Symtralia, Pennsylvania.
It is scary. It's just a different kind of scary. It's like real world scary shit.
Right. And you can go there right now and you can visit and see the geyser. You can feel the heat. I don't know if you want to smell the smells. Also, because it's blocked off, this Route 61 is being called the graffiti highway. So everybody just comes and says, I was here and blah, blah, blah. And hopefully they wore a gas mask. I don't know. But
that's fucking insane. People are fucking off their rockers.
Like, who says, oh, this place sounds dangerous, I want to go? I guess everybody does.
I mean, who wants to smell the smell besides Eric Clapton? Like,
ooh, that smell. Like, sulfur, carbon dioxide, carbon monoxide poisoning smell.
But why would you want to put yourself in harm's way for something like that? I don't understand people.
Why do people go into the ocean and scuba dive? I mean,
true. At least that, I think they're getting something out of it. It's adventure, or they're looking for pearls or gold, or I don't fucking know what they're doing down under there. But
right. This is an adventure. This is look at the disaster and
maybe I'll die or get some weird freaking third eye growing out of me or something.
Two months later, you have a third nipple and you're wondering why.
Yeah.
Gee, I wonder.
Fucking people are stupid.
Yeah.
We really do live amongst some really dumb people.
Mm-hmm. Yes. America full of idiots. But here we are.
I don't recommend it. 0 out of 10.
Do not recommend.
I think we need to start having like a stupidity meter.
Oh.
Because that would
we
be,
need a negative meter.
That would be at 100. Yes.
Yeah. Kind of like our other podcast with the customer is always an asshole. Like, people are just morons and they want to go see that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm afraid of leaving my own house sometimes. Like, I'm sure shit not going to go to a place that I know 100% has toxic fumes and is like, I could maybe sink in a hole. Like, why am I going to do that?
If you Google Symtralia, Pennsylvania, or graffiti highway or anything, nobody in their pictures has any PPE.
They don't have masks on.
They're not wearing anything. They just go there and they
freeballing it around, like not a care in the world. I mean, God, dumb fucks.
Exactly.
Well, thanks for sharing that with us, Michelle.
Oh, sure. I just want to let you know where to stay away from. I had another one that was kind of creepy, but this was so interesting to me and just wild, out of control. I'm like, I have to tell you.
Yeah, because it just keeps going with the stupidity. It just doesn't stop. Right.
I mean, from late 1800s stupidity of the city council up until today. Like, wow. Like,
that is so long ago that this started.
Amazing.
Fucking disease and cured, and they're still trying to figure out how to put out a fucking fire and not let kids sink into the ground.
They do it every year.
Hold your breath on that one.
So we'll continue our Scaremerica.
Yes, our jaunt across the country. Yes. In the fucking smart old USA. Fucking people are such a-holes.
I know. But please rate, subscribe, and review. And
I mean, I guess without stupid people and scary shit, we wouldn't have anything to talk about with everyone else.
Or anyone to listen to our podcast.
All 10 of you. Thank you.
We're at 30.
Are we? High five.
Plus Robert the doll. Oh, yeah. I got to go. I got to draft up a letter to Robert the doll.
Yeah.
Maybe they have a template online. Did you send a picture of Robert the doll to somebody? Go ahead and use our template for $99.95.
Call the lawyers out.
Better call Saul.
Oh, I feel like there's like some good spooky shows coming up on different streaming.
Mm.
There's that one that I really want to watch. The one with Jessica Biel where she's in that wig.
Candy. Yes.
That looks like a good one.
And there is an HBO series called The Way Down.
What is it about?
It's about Gwen Shamblin. This quote unquote church was run by this lady, Gwen, and she started getting followers because she said, basically, instead of eating, pray. So when you're hungry,
you pray
and
on
you
it?
Shouldn't eat, go ahead and pray on it. And people were losing weight. Well, basically, yeah. People were just starving themselves. They were getting like eating disorders. And once they left the church or just kind of decided, well, I can't pray on this. I'm fucking hungry. They would gain the weight back and then they would get kicked out of this quote unquote church. So wow. The whole story is so wild. It is very new. Mm-hmm. Like it's 2016, 17, 18.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I can't believe this is still happening.
I got to watch it. And it's called The Way Down.
Yeah. So it was the, her system of losing weight was called The Way, W-E-I-G-H down, The Way Down. So this is called The Way W-A-Y.
And what is it on?
HBO.
HBO, okay.
It is incredible. There's two seasons now, and it just like every other cult, it's wild. That's another thing that I've been toying with the idea. Do we start talking about cults? Because they're creepy.
I love a good cult.
They're freaky. They're a little spooky.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all about cults and just learning like how they bring people in, how they deceive people, how they get people to join and think and succumb to their craziness, because it's just fascinating to me. It's almost like serial killer level.
Oh, for sure.
Fascinating to me.
I love cult stuff. It's fascinating to me. And it is right up there with serial killers. In fact, you should have seen the looks I got. So after Michael's service, we all went out to dinner. A bunch of us went to dinner. Someone at the other end of the table had started talking about serial killers or true crime or something. And I heard it like, and I jumped and I was like, oh, I love serial killers.
Yes. Let's talk about it. I know. And then you get weird looks.
I did. Well, not from everybody. Like Rachel got it because Rachel loves it too. She loves true crime and all that stuff too. This other guy, Brendan, he was sitting kind of next to me. He saw, you're really freaking me out right now. Because Casey is the one who brought it up. And I was like, oh my God, who's your favorite serial killer? And Brendan goes, you have a favorite? And I'm like, don't you? Like, who doesn't have a favorite and then a backup favorite? Like, come on. Right. What's wrong with you?
We just need new words to describe that. Like,
yeah,
favorite maybe not be the right description. We need to say,
I'm fascinated by.
Most intrigues me, most fascinates. I'm not looking up to him like, oh, he was so great. No.
I'm fascinated by the things that they were able to get away with, the things that they...
How they think, what they did,
their motivation. Like
that you have the ability to stab somebody. I don't get that at all. And that fascinates me, that I want to know more.
Well, like, that's why I'm fascinated by Ted Bundy, because even though he's sort of like the common one and the basic one, he seemed charming and normal and like had girlfriends and was like going to school. Like, I mean, that's why I'm fascinated by it. I'm fascinated that he could be so overly charming that you completely missed this side of him.
Right. And it's kind of a PSA to everybody that may be a little bit naive on that side, that people may seem, you don't have to be completely like freaked out by every person.
No.
But at this point, maybe you should. But somebody that seems like Ted Bundy, totally normal, that could be a serial killer. That's why you have to be aware of your surroundings, and pay attention, carry weapons legally.
Yeah. Rachel and I both said watching true crime is what keeps us alive.
It's a PSA.
We know what not to do.
Right. Which reminds me of another reason that we were on hiatus is I was able to volunteer at CrimeCon.
That's right.
In Las Vegas. And that was amazing.
I know. I'm so happy you got to do that. I'm so jealous.
And it was very, I think when I brought it up to people, I said it on my work call, I said, oh, Friday, I'll be out. I actually got picked to volunteer at CrimeCon. I'm really excited. And they're like, who are you dressing up as? And I'm like, no, it's not.
What, Comic-Con?
Not like that. Not dressing up as Ted Bundy. It's to hear these stories. The families are so happy to keep this in the news and out to everybody. Like, it's really just like people helping people. And everybody was so nice. And I had a great time, even though I had to stand for 8 hours. But
And who did you get to meet?
I got to meet Body Movin' from...
I think that's so cool.
Her name's Deanna from Don't Fuck With Cats. I got to see plenty of the true crime celebrities like Paul Holes, Payne Lindsay, the podcaster, the cop that caught Richard Ramirez.
I think that's so cool.
Yeah, I mean, and they're so humble. They're like, I'm just doing my job. But I mean, these are the people that in the true crime community we look up to, like, you're a star and you don't even know it.
Yeah.
Way better than meeting a celebrity. Let's just put it that way. Yeah.
I bet. And the most famous voice of all?
Keith Morrison. Mm-hmm. That pesky DNA. Have you watched The Thing About Pam yet?
Yes. And I loved it. Oh. And I love that he narrates it.
So crazy.
It's fucking bizarre.
Yeah.
It's so wild.
Russ Faria was there.
Really? Wow.
I didn't see him, but he was there. All right. Well, I think that will do for the month-long hiatus, and we'll be back. Hopefully things have calmed down and we will be back to weekly, semi-weekly, whenever we want weekly podcasts. Thanks for hanging in there with us if you did.
We appreciate it. And hey, sleep tight.
Make sure you leave the lights on. And now I'm buzzed and I'm ready to go to bed. Go to FreakyFridaysPodcast.com and subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite podcast listening platform.
Join us next week for a new freaky tale.